Good morning, church. What a great illustration. As we go through life, there's obstacles that come our way, and we're protected, and sometimes we don't even know it. Again, Gary gave a brief introduction, and I'm not going to do the whole introduction thing again. I've been here before. It's like a second or third or fourth home now, just being so many different places. But I'm definitely thankful for the invite. And once again, you see familiar faces from when I was a kid. Some of the faces are still the same, and I see some new faces, which is also a blessing, and I thank God for that. But again, to be invited to speak to you and address you on this new Sunday is a definite pleasure. We want to thank you for your prayers. And again, Gary mentioned, I don't know if he did mention, but my mom did pass away back in February on Valentine's Day, and we had a funeral service last weekend. So it's been a difficult time. So we do thank you for your prayers. We thank you for your support, for the phone calls, text message, Facebook message, whatever it may be. Some people showed up to the funeral service on a Saturday, which was excellent as well. So I want to continue to thank you and continue to ask you for your prayers. The family's still healing, and I have siblings who were once in the church and very active in the church who have fallen away from the church. And during this whole time where my mom was sick and they were kind of getting back into the word and praying and hoping God would do a miracle. And the miracle didn't happen the way they thought. So prayers are still needed so that their faith won't waver during this time. Also want to thank you for your support in ministry. I'll just give you a brief ministry update. The students are still searching after God. And I know it's not a new thing, but sometimes we think, well, we've evangelized enough. We've gone through the neighborhood enough. And we've talked to them enough, and there's no one else to talk to. We find out there are students who are still coming to receive the truth of the gospel, and we need to thank God for that. And there was one young man in particular this semester. I was in conversation with another young lady and praying for her and encouraging her. And he came out, and he wanted to speak to someone. And I was the only one at the table ministering to the student. And he felt it necessary to wait, and he stood on the side for about 10 or 15 minutes, and he was going through some information on the table and waited patiently. I mean, I saw him out of the corner of my eye, but I couldn't end one conversation to start another one. So I finished with the young lady and started speaking to this young man. He starts going through his story, some of the things that were happening with him. And long story short, he rededicated his life to Christ. And you see that he had a meeting with another student on campus, but he put that on hold. He could have gone somewhere else. He put that on hold. He could have went to get something to eat, and he put that on hold because he was searching for the truth. So continue to pray for the ministry on campus that I'm involved with, and also the ministry that you guys are doing here at PCC. Continue to reach out. Continue to extend your arms of welcome to those who are needy, those who are looking for something, because we have the answers. Amen? And again, there's so many great things going to happen in the future for me and my wife, Candace. Say hi, honey. God is preparing us for great things, and again, the start of this year was a setback because of my mom's sickness and surgery and untimely death. Ironically enough, last year in February, my wife was in the very same hospital that my mom ended up passing away in. She was there for life-saving emergency surgery. So February's haven't been a good month for me, and I don't like the month of February after the past 2 years. But God is restoring us, and he's bringing us back to this promise that he's going to fulfill his purposes. And if you believe that, that's what you got to go with, because that's what his word says. So continue to pray for us as we're looking forward to greater things in 2016 and beyond. We're going to look at one scripture before we get into some other scriptures. But I just want to reference this scripture before we get going. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And we just look at the first half or the first part of that verse where it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would just expound your word. And as I speak, I pray, Lord, that my voice would quietly fade into the distance, and the truth of your word would be proclaimed. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of today's message is, He Lives in Me. But before we get into this message, I want to play a game. Is that okay? And we're going to play an old school game. For those of you who with the church at MGC, you'll know it very well, or church in the Caribbean. Sword drill. Anybody familiar with that? Sword drill. So for the younger generation, it's a Bible drill where you have your Bible. You have to hold it by the spine. Oh, I realize that we have technology. Well, if you're old school like me, you'd have a Bible, and the spine of the Bible would be held in your hand and you raise it. So any old school Bible carriers out there? One, two. All right, you guys are eligible to play. If you have a smartphone, I don't know if you can participate. But we're going to play sword drill. And I'm just going to call out some scriptures. You call out the book, the chapter, and the verse, all while holding your Bible in your hand. And when I say charge, that's when you can put the Bible down and you flip through as fast as you can to find the scripture. Now, for the person who finds the scripture, I would want you to stand. Can we get a mic for that individual and have them read that scripture? All right, can we play? You guys ready? All right, swords in hand. That means your Bible up in the air by the spine. No halfway, no fingers in the pages. Swords in hand. The first scripture, the book is Romans. Chapter is 8. Verse is 9. Charge. Once you have it, raise your hand. The mic will come and you can read the scripture. Romans 8 and verse 9.
You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ.
All right, can you do me a favor and also read verse 11?
And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you.
All right, you got it. I don't have a prize. So when you get to heaven and you're looking at your name in the book of life, you have a little asterisk there, a little star. Tell them that you won the prize at church, and then you get something then. All right, swords in hand. Here's the next scripture. The book is Colossians. The chapter is 2. And the verse is 6, charge. Colossians 2, verse 6. Once you have it, raise your hand. The mic will come to you, and you can read.
All right. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him.
All right. Congratulations. You got it again. You get 2 stars. All right. We can see that she's a product of the church because she has gotten 2 in a row. All right. Let's see if we can switch things up a little bit. Here's our last one. The chapter is 13. The verse is 5. And the book, 2 Corinthians, charge. Are you kidding me? Come on, church. Is she flipping pages? You can't stand and flip pages at the...
Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test?
All right, congratulations. You win. The game is over. Thanks a lot, Tiffany. Back in the day, we used to have a heavy competition for the sword drill. Fights nearly broke out in the middle of service because of... the fact. He was cheating. Her arms weren't extended all the way up. She has a different version. But it's good to know the scriptures so that when you hear it, you can turn to it and you can be reminded of the goodness of the Word of God. But the central theme in those verses was either Christ in me or Christ in us, Christ living in you. And again, why this focus? Where did the inspiration for this message come from? Believe it or not, it was a Lion King stage play. Anybody ever saw it? The Lion King live? Me and my wife were blessed by a friend of hers to go and see it for her birthday back in January. So we drove way up to West Palm Beach to pick up the friend, drove way across the state to Tampa to watch this Lion King stage play live. Now, me, being the person that I am, really didn't want to go, but since the tickets were paid for and it was my wife's birthday, I did what any good husband would do, and I went. I'm learning, church, I'm learning. So I went. If it was a game, a basketball game, football game, let's go pack up the guys, let's get some. But I went, we enjoyed ourselves, and I really enjoyed the whole entire program. Wonderful cast. Of course, the story of the Lion King is a beautiful story, if you guys have seen it. And as I'm sitting and we're going through the different scenes and the plays being performed on stage, I literally thought I was being transformed into a church service with Rafiki and Simba, Hakuna Matata. But one thing that really stuck out was the song, He Lives in Me. And it resonated within my spirit as the actors performed it on a stage and the choir sang and the colors were on the stage and the lights came up and people were dancing. And if I didn't know any better, I was going to stand up and, you know, start raising your hand and start speaking in tongues, because you just get so emotional and get caught up. But you listen to the words of the song, He Lives in Me. Now, doesn't that apply to us as Christians? And we just read the scriptures that continue to tell us that Christ lives in us. In Galatians 2 and verse 20 tells us, no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. So whoever wrote that song, I don't know if they're Christians or not, or the movie, did a great job of exemplifying who we are as Christians. It's no longer Rodney who lives. Yeah, you see me in the flesh, but it's no longer me who lives. It's Christ living in me. Only those who believe, who accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, will understand that He, that Jesus Christ, that the living Holy Spirit is within me. Now, He will be with us in the bad times. He'll be with us in the good times, and even in those in-between times. But by the end of this message, I want you to be able to declare from the depths of your soul, within your spirit, that yes, He lives in me. Now, there are times when things get bad. Is that right, church? And again, I just went through the situation. It was a low time, it was a bad time, a dark period for my family as we lost our loved one. And as we go through the mourning period, and I just felt it necessary to continue to keep my life as normal as possible. Because I could have either A, stayed home and pondered and reflect and kept remembering my mom, and which would bring me to a state of depression, where I can get up and I can go to campus ministry and I can go to my job and I can go to friends' house and do things as normal. Now, for some people, it may seem like I didn't care. Like, he's just doing the regular things and doesn't even care that his mom passed away. But I do recognize that although she is gone, I still have to live my life. And it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a void that can't be replaced by any person on this earth. But I know that God will fill it. So my mom's sick in the hospital, and she passed away. And that very next Tuesday, right there on Miami-Dade College campus, talking to students, explaining to students the love of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And other students are looking like, I don't know how you're doing it, bro. It's like, He lives in me. And that's in my mind. Like, it has to be the power of God that's keeping me doing this. Because, again, I should be home mourning. I should be crying my eyes out because my mom is gone. But the power of Christ that lives in me tells me I got to go out. And there's others who may not know who Jesus Christ is. And they need to hear that message. And with my mom, if you guys know me growing up in church, she would always let me go to church. Any type of church function, I was there. Any activity with church members or church friends, I was there. She never said no. Same thing with my father, never said no. Now, they weren't active churchgoers, but they realized that from young, when Ms. Thompson used to take us, like, we were going to a good place. We were getting good teaching, and she entrusted our lives and my life in the hands of the church. So, like, as a fitting memorial to my mom, I will continue to go to church. I'll continue to share the gospel. I continue to accept invitations and go and speak at different churches, because that's what she approved of. That's what she loved, and That's what I'm going to continue to do. So here's the thing. That's a downtime in my life. But I got to realize that Christ lives in me. The power that raised him from the dead resides right within me. So I can go out and I can speak to someone about my mom's situation, and I can be strong about it. And I can give that person encouragement for when their situation comes. And again, we'll go through dark times in life. We'll have failing relationships with loved ones and family members and friends. We'll go times without a job. We've been putting in applications and sending in resumes and looking online, and sometimes the job doesn't come. And we'll be in school, and sometimes the financial aid doesn't come through, or you're not accepted into a certain college that you wanted to go to, so you have to go to another college for the time being. And a lot of things happen in our life that seems to be a dark time, a time where we just, I don't want to do it anymore. And those bad times, we need to realize, if we are believers in Jesus Christ, we know that he lives within us. The only way we'll get through those dark times, those troubled times, those times of loneliness, is to know that he lives in me. But then there will also be good times, right? We all love the good times, amen? We love when times are good. We can celebrate, we can be happy, we can have joy. But let us not forget that even in those times of success, when the times are good, he continues to live in us. Now, I've been volunteering with the basketball team that the young guys at the church, they play with. They play in a basketball team, and I told them that I would volunteer just to kind of pick up and, you know, bring them to practice or support them at the games, be that kind of role model, that motivator, that encourager, because those guys aren't really that good. So it's a lot of, yeah, you did a great job. It was an air ball, but you tried. You gave your best. So I'm doing this volunteer thing with the guys, and it's like, God, how can I motivate these young men who aren't that good in the sport to be committed to the sport, committed to going to practice, committed to being involved with the team? So here's one thing that I thought of. I said, you know what? The guys who go to MGC, who are part of the church, we're going to have a motto. And the motto is, pray before you play. Very simple, right? So I told the guys, all right, you guys getting ready to go? Yeah, whatever you're going to do. But don't forget, pray before you play. And there was a time where I didn't go. I didn't go to a game for some reason or another. And I'm texting the guys, did the game start yet? No, it hasn't started yet. But don't forget, tell other guys to pray before you play. So this one particular game, I was not there. And one of the guys, he's been to our summer camp, and he's been involved in the church for a few years. He scored 18 points in that game. And this is like his career high. He doesn't even have a career, but that's his high point for the season. He has 18 points. And after the game, they're calling me and texting me, hey, we had a good game. We won the game by this amount of points, and I had 18 points, and I gave a pass here, and I did ball this and that. So I actually was Facebook messaging him. I want to read the message verbatim so that I won't get him mixed up. But here's the thing. Again, this whole idea of praying before you play and trying to encourage the guys that even though you might not be the best or the games might not go the way you thought it would, you're still a Christian. You're still a believer, first and foremost. So here's what I tell him. I heard you were balling tonight. Now, if you don't understand, balling is like you played well. So I heard you were playing well tonight. And here's his response. Nope, it was God. So I replied with the hand emojis, with the hand raised, the hands clapping, and the hands praying. And I text back, great answer. And here's what he replied. I asked him to show his power through me, and he did. Now, that still brings chills to me now. Because, again, you think that, well, I went out there and I was practicing my game and I had my basketball skills going on. I had good shoes and I made layups. And no, it was God. This is what he said. I asked him to show his power through me, and he did. And in my mind, I'm doing backflips. I'm praising the Lord. I'm doing the praise dance. You know, I'm shouting. Because their understanding, or his understanding, for one, it's not about me. It's God who's living in me. I asked God to show his power through me. And I went out and scored 18 points and had X amount of assists, and we won the game. So here's the thing. When times are good, we can easily point the finger to ourselves. You see, you know what I did? I studied all night, and that's how I got the good grade. And I made sure that I was on time, and that's how I got the job. And I spoke very well, and I looked nice. I had a haircut, and my clothes were put together, and that's how I was able to succeed. And the truth is, if you're a believer, it's God who's working in you. So let's make sure we give him the credit when the credit is due. But then there's those times where it's just kind of in between. It's not really that good. It's not really that bad. But it's just kind of in between. Those are the times where I really don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know who to ask. Right now, I don't even know how to pray. And it's like being at that crossroad, and there's signs that tell you go this way, or you can go that way, or you can go forward, or you can go backward. And you're just like, you know what, God? I'm just going to stay right here. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know how the next paycheck is going to come in, how the next bill is going to be paid, when the next tank of gas will be filled, when the next meal will come. And in those times, we need to be encouraged that when you're confused and when you don't know what to do or where to go, and I faced that period in my early 20s, and it's just, I didn't know what to do. I'm going to school and I'm going to church and things just aren't connecting. Things aren't really making sense. You have to realize that he still lives in you. Just because you don't know what you're doing or you're not the best of Christians at this point doesn't mean that God leaves you until you get yourself ready, then his spirit comes back and joins you. No, he's still with you. And of course, on the outside, your life may be in shambles, total mess, not sure which way is up or down. He still lives in you. He's still with you. But we have to understand that. Because it's easy to say, well, because I'm not doing well, that God is not helping me, that God is not with me. And for someone who's not a Christian, it may make sense. And you think of some individuals in the Bible, men and women who've gone through these times of confusion, didn't know where to go. You think of Job, who lost everything, and his friends came along and said, Job, what did you do to deserve all of this? And Job replied, the Lord gives and the Lord take away. May the name of the Lord be praised. The Spirit of God still lived within him, even though he was at his lowest point. And he's at a stage where he doesn't know where to go. There's sores from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and he's in pain, and his family is gone, and his livestock is gone, and he has no job, and nothing's coming in. The Spirit of God was living within him. Your faith needs to remind you that even though you find yourself at an impasse, don't know where to go, not sure what to do, that he still lives within me. He still lives within me. He lives in me. Can you say that, church? Say it again. He lives in me. If you feel like Jonah and you don't know, you don't want to go where God has called you to, so you decide to go the opposite way, guess what? He lives in me. When you feel like the disciple who turned their back on Jesus and they carried Jesus to be crucified, all the disciples scattered, guess what? He still lives in me. When you're going through life and it just isn't panning out the way you thought it would, he still lives in me. Now let's take it back to the Lion King live. You all know the story. Mufasa's the top lion in the Pride Rock. And he has a son, Simba, who's following him and wants to be like his father. But Mufasa has an evil brother, Scar, who comes along and he tries to take the throne. He wants the position that his brother has. So he uses the son to put his father in a situation where the father will possibly get killed. And Simba follows his uncle's plan. Mufasa, being the heroic and the strong father that he is, he goes out to protect his son, and he ends up losing his life. And Scar tells Simba, you gotta go. You did something very terrible, or you're a bad boy, you gotta go. So he flees and he runs. Simba meets some other characters. He starts to live a free life. Hakuna Matata means no worries. And he goes through this whole phase as he's growing up into a young lion. He starts to realize that whatever happened in the past, and I'm just going to go around eating grub with a little pig and a little meerkat, and just going to live life, you know, free of any problems, free of any stress, free of any responsibilities. And he has doubts about returning to Prior Rock. And again, he comes to this place where he's asked to go back home because things are getting really, really bad. Things are desolate. And he doesn't want to go because of the doubt, because of the shame, because of the regret. And he remembers what happened with him as a child and how he lost his father. And he doesn't want to face that. But good old Rafiki. Anybody remember Rafiki? The funny monkey with the stick? And in the live play, she did a great job. Hilarious. But Rafiki reminds Simba of his father Mufasa's strength and character and power and legacy. But also reminds Simba that Mufasa lives within him. And that's what he needed to actually go back. Now, in the live play, they kind of mixed two stories, because the song "He Lives in Me" is from Lion King Part 2, Simba's Pride. I'm just doing a little history here. But that song, "He Lives in Me," was included in the live play. And this is where Simba's at a point where he's called by Rafiki to look at himself in the water and to see reflection. But here are some of the lyrics to the song, "He Lives in Me." And a key word for the song is in, I forget what language it is, but the word is Mamela, M-A-M-E-L-A. And that word means listen. And instead of singing it, I'm just going to recite it, and then we can listen to the song. But it says, "Wait, there is no mountain too great. Hear the words and have faith." And here's the chorus. It said, "He lives in you. He lives in me. He watches over everything we see. Into the water, into the truth, in your reflection, he lives in you." Now, as the song is being dramatized on stage, and Simba sees in reflection, and actually had a huge image of the lion coming from behind, and it's just riveting. Again, gives me chills just thinking about it. So when it comes down to South Florida, I encourage you to take your family and go to the show. But you see that Simba lost track of who he was and lost track of the lineage that he came from. And he lost the fact that his father continued to live within him and that he was the one to take that next position. So sometimes we go through life and it just didn't happen. And we think that, well, God has failed me, and so I'll just go back to what I used to do and go hang out with the friends that I used to hang out with and make the wrong decisions that I used to make. Failing to realize that he continues to live in you and he'll give you the strength to get back to where you once were and to bring you to where you need to be. Now, you would think this comes out of a Bible story. Like, which book of the Bible did this come from? But it's the Lion King. Let's take a listen to this song. Now, imagine this song and the stage and the cast, and don't put that video too far. We're going to finish it. But just imagine the cast just kind of going through this, and they're hearing the live music, and the people are singing, and beautiful voices. But put all of that aside and think of yourself. The song is telling you that he lives in me. And for other Christians, he lives in you. He watches over everything that we can see. God knows that Donald Trump is running for president. Believe me. He does. So let's keep praying. He knows that there's wars going on. He knows that economy's not so great. He knows that our young people are facing struggles that they've never faced before. He watches over everything that we can see. So instead of looking at it with eyes that says, you know what, God, I don't know how this is going to happen, we look at it with eyes and say, you know what, God, because you live in me, I can face it. I can go and put in that application and trust that you provide a job. And even in between time, when the job doesn't come, that my bills will be taken care of. That food will be in my belly. That I have a place to sleep. Because he lives in you. He's not going to leave you. And in the bad relationships that we may have, and we're trying to work things out with our family members, and we want to get our children to come back to church and to get them to understand the goodness of God, don't give up. Because he lives in you. And if your child believes, he lives in your child as well. And we continue to hope and we continue to pray until God shows up and he does exactly what he says that he would do. But it's now your time to respond. Because I know who lives in me. You don't have to second guess that. He's been with me through the good times. He's been with me through the bad times. He's been with me in the in-between times. He's with me right now. He was with me last weekend at the funeral service of my mother. He'll be with me as I go through life, and he's going to continue to be with me. And I have to realize that it's my job to remind myself. I can't go around reminding you all the time, he lives in you, he lives in you, he lives in you, because I'm not going to be there with you all the time. But he will be with you all the time, and you must continually remind yourself. But how will you respond? Are you going to allow him to live through you in your life, in every area? It's your call. I'm going to say a prayer. And this is for those who've put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They know him as their personal Lord and Savior. He's been a good God to them. They love him, and their love is reciprocated always. But maybe you lost track of who he is and what he wants to do in your life. So this prayer is going to reassure us that he continues to live in me, he continues to move in me, he continues to work in my life, so that when the next obstacle comes, I can overcome it. When the next decision has to be made, I'll make the right choice. Because it's no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who's living in me. Father, I just want to bring those before you. The ones who know you, the ones who are your children, the ones who have a place set for them in heaven, and the ones who are still on this earth, and we look around us, God, and things just don't seem right. We believe in you. We've put our trust in you, but our situations may still be the same. Our circumstances may not have changed, but I pray, God, that we won't see those things with natural eyes, that we'll see them with spiritual eyes and realize that no matter where we find ourselves, that you continue to live within us. You continue to show yourself to us. You continue to do great things on our behalf. And I ask, God, that you would simply remind us this morning that you will continue to live in us. In Jesus' name. Now we're going to look at the rest of that video, and I'm going to invite you to stand. And again, if you understand the meaning of these words, I want you to sing it out. A very powerful song. Download it if you need to. YouTube if you need to. But I want you to just kind of participate in the song and let it have some meaning for your life.
He lives in you. He lives in you.
to, you can raise your hands, you can clap, you can pray, you can seek God. But my prayer is that through it all, He'll continue to live within you. And that'll be all right. Father, we just thank you for this reminder. And I trust, God, that you'll continue to live within us, continue to show us. And we think of anyone, Lord, who's in this auditorium today, who may not have that relationship with Jesus Christ. They can't agree. It doesn't make sense because he doesn't live within them. But I pray that anyone, God, who is listening and who understands the importance of a relationship with you would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ so that the Spirit of God return and live within them. I thank you again for your word. I thank you again for who you are, what you have done in our lives, what you will continue to do as long as we allow you to take your place. In Jesus' name.
And because Jesus lives